I'm going to read my scripture from 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow, but not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him or lead forth. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort or exhort one another with these words. Let's bow in a short prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that we can be here today to study and to worship. We do pray that you would open our eyes and ears to your word. We continue to pray for those who are named as in special need of our prayers at this time, and that you would suit unto them that which they need. Help us all to love and serve you, and to look forward to your coming kingdom. Take this service in charge, we ask in his name. Amen. Today we're going to study this word parousia, and to see how it helps us to understand our Lord's second coming, to help us to see that the Advent or actual coming of the Lord is not an unrelated event, but that the signs indicate that the arrival of Jesus Christ is imminent. Now, this is a very important word, and I'd like to spend a little bit of time on the definition. We think it was very unfortunate that Benjamin Wilson, in his emphatic diaglot, which we love very much, chose to translate parousia by presence 15 places, including all four times that occurs in Matthew 24. In other words, when it says, they ask him, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? He used presence. And in fact, the four places that the word parousia occurs in Matthew 24, Wilson translated it, presence. And so it says, 27th verse, for the lightning cometh out of the east, shines to the west, so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. And so on. As the days of Noah were 37, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. And 39th verse, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. But you see how weak that is. It doesn't express the idea of the Advent or the coming of Jesus Christ. And so anyway, C.T. Russell, the Bible students, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all pounced on this to prove their secret presence theory when Jesus did not return in 1874, 1914, 1925, and so on, as they predicted. So in other words, they love this. They loved the diaglot because of that idea that there was a secret presence. In Young's Concordance, he said it means to being alongside, presence, or coming. Strong says a being near, that is Advent, often return, specifically of Christ, to punish Jerusalem or finally to punish the wicked. By implication, it means in the physical aspect coming or presence. That's Strong's Concordance. I like the note that occurs in Rotherham's translation. Rotherham wrote a word-for-word or emphasized Bible good many years ago, probably 100 years ago. But he said the word parousia occurs 24 times in the Greek New Testament, And in this translation, it is rendered arrival 20 times and presence 4. The sense of presence is so plainly shown by the contrast with absence implied in 2 Corinthians 10:10. That one he talks about, you say, well, in his absence he's strong, but in his presence he's weak. Well, that the word coming doesn't seem to work there. And he said the answer is that, he makes the question, why not always translate parousia presence? Because the answer is because parousia in some cases plainly marks an event rather than a condition. It's a transitional point rather than a continuous line. Take, for example, 1 Corinthians 15:23. Here we have 3 points. First, Christ's resurrection. Second, his parousia. And third is delivering up the kingdom to God. Hence, for this place, presence, estate, is not the word. Arrival is the decisive word. Like 2 Timothy 2:8, the fourth shining of his arrival. So it shows this altogether satisfies the unbiased mind. So that was a footnote, as it were, in Rotherham's translation, where he is showing or giving us the meaning of this word. So that is definition. So this is where I just put here plainly, parousia is our Lord's arrival. Well, after he arrives, he will be present. So we're not arguing with the fact that parousia can also mean presence, because when he arrives, he'll be present. A companion Bible, Bullinger said that parousia is a technical expression for the arrival or the visit of the king or of other persons in authority. So we feel that when we consider the definition, that parousia is a word that expresses the process of Christ's arrival and his presence upon his arrival. So that I feel would give the expression. But it's interesting in the New Testament that we have 2 other words that are used. One is apocalypsis, that's where we get the word revelation. And then we have the epiphany, which means shining forth. Both of these words are also used besides parousia. But they're all wonderful. They're all very expressive. And they help us to understand about the coming of the Lord. When you take the word parousia and find how it's used, you're going to find out that it is a literal arrival or coming. The fact that it is used of other people than Jesus Christ is, I think, a real strong point. For instance, you get over in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 17th verse, he said, I am glad of the parousia of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Caiaphas, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. So the word coming here is, or arrival, is a very good translation. I'm glad of the coming, or parousia, of these people that have brought these supplies to us. And also in the 2 Corinthians, and there at the 7th chapter, in the 6th and 7th verses, we have also other people spoken of, so that you have a meaning of arrival. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the parousia, or coming of Titus, and not by his parousia only, but by the consolation with he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. So here you have the parousia of Titus. He was a physical person, and he came physically to the Apostle Paul. There are others. Philippians, the first chapter, 26th verse, talks about the parousia of Paul himself, and he was a real person. We also, by using the way the word, or noticing the way parousia is used, it actually is a personal arrival. And that was in our scripture lesson, 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. We're here where he talks about the coming of Christ. And there in the 15th and 16th verses, "For we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first." In other words, this is talking about the arrival of the Lord. It's the personal arrival of the Lord. So it's not only literal, but it's also personal. The Lord himself shall descend. And also we know from Matthew, the 24th chapter, among other places, that it will be visible. In other words, this is the reason I bring out these things. Some people feel that parousia was a secret thing, that it was not personal. It was sort of gaseous and spiritual and not literal and not real. In other words, if we believe that Jesus came secretly in 1914, we wouldn't want it to be real. But it is real as in the scriptures. The 24th of Matthew there in the beginning at the 23rd verse. "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. There shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as it were possible they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be." Whereas you can't hide lightning. And lightning shines and it's brilliant. In fact, I've read that it's even hotter than the surface of the sun, which is hard to imagine, but it's brilliant. It's visible. You can see it with the eye. Also, we know according to the scriptures, 2 Peter, the first chapter, it's going to be powerful. In other words, we're talking about the arrival of Jesus from heaven in his second coming. And here it is in the 16th verse. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We made known unto you the power and parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Here he is talking about the transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured before the disciples. And so he said, "We've made known unto you the power and parousia, our coming arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So this is something. It's a sure word of prophecy. It's something that's real and personal and physical and powerful. It's not something that can be secret or unobserved. And also, we know that it is going to be bright, as that one reference in Rotherham was to 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the fourth shining of his parousia. It's a brilliant thing and a powerful thing. Here it's in this 2 Thessalonians 2:8. "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia." In other words, when the Lord comes, it's going to be brilliant, powerful, bright, and there is going to be destruction of the powers, the anti-Christian powers that are in existence at the time when the Lord comes. That is what his parousia is going to be like. The thing that I try to bring out too is that parousia is not an unrelated event. It's a part of the establishment of the kingdom of God. It's related to resurrection. When he arrives in his parousia, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, our scripture lesson, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. The living Christians are going to be changed. And we're going to meet the Lord as he comes. Some people may see the parousia as a rapture, but the scripture does not use rapture. And the thing that I try to bring out to people, he's coming here. We're not going there. There's no scripture in the Bible that teaches that the saints will ever be in heaven at any time, for any length of time. He's coming here. We're going to meet him in the air. In fact, any of you that have been around me very long have heard me talk about 1 Thessalonians 4, where the Lord descends from heaven, Ouranos. He comes into the air, A-E-R, which is atmosphere. And in other words, we're going to meet the air, Lord in the atmosphere. And as I've thanked God many times in the space program, when they have gone out into space and they look back and they look at the Earth, in that Earth, that atmosphere looks about a half an inch thick when you're out way out there. And in fact, it talks about him coming in clouds. Well, the clouds don't appear in outer space. The clouds are in the atmosphere. They're in the air. So everything that there is in the scriptures and studying shows that he is coming from heaven and is going to come into Earth's atmosphere and come here to the Earth, and we're going to meet him in the atmosphere, not in heaven. So it's not an unrelated event. It's related to the resurrection. It's related to the kingdom, to the restoration of Israel, to the restitution of all things, to the earthly reign of Jesus Christ on the throne of David at Jerusalem, to the gathering of the nations before him being divided as sheep and goats, to the judgment. All of these things are related to parousia. He has to arrive before any of these things can occur. In fact, this is in the Hebrew scriptures, but I think it's a very interesting text, and that is the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, where he said he saw in the night visions, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. What does he do? He comes to the Ancient of Days, and there's given him a kingdom and dominion that all nations and people should serve him. And this is when he gives the kingdom under the whole heaven to the people of the saints of the Most High God. All occurring at this time when the Son of Man comes again to this earth. So, in fact, Jesus could be called the cloud comer, one who is coming in clouds, and he will be given the dominion and the kingdom. This is something that we look forward to, because this is when he reigns, when he shall defeat all his enemies. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I have said many times that I would not be surprised if the peoples and the nations would resist the coming of the Lord. I don't know of any king, I don't know of any president or any totalitarian ruler of any place on earth that would be glad to give up their reign to Jesus Christ So it's going to be a reigning from David's throne to defeat his enemies until the last is defeated, which is death. All of the signs of the scriptures are referring to his parousia. I have sisters in Jehovah's Watchtower. I wonder how they think that when they look about them today with the signs that we say, and that this is these are signs that the Lord is present and the kingdom is already here. This is not my idea of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to be righteous. Sin is going to be done away, and all of the curse on the earth is going to be removed. There won't be war. There won't be greed, murder, and all these terrible sins and signs that we see day by day here upon this earth. So the parousia is something that we desire, that we pray for, and welcome and want. And we just, I guess maybe it's my age, but I have to say I'll give up anything I'm doing, anything I hope to do, or anything I have, if the Lord would come at this very moment. I pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So as we meditate on these, on this wonderful truth of the parousia of the Lord, we're going to do as Paul said there in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, yes, but exhort one another with these words. That is to be faithful and true and strong and looking for and expecting the coming of the Lord. We thank you.